Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved ones. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, where we are broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. We are here for you, beloved ones, wherever you are around the world. We broadcast every day here on Blog Talk Radio. It gives me great pleasure to let you know that our Bible school under the Word of Life Bible College, International Correspondence School, took off on the 11th of January, 2016. So we have close now to 25 students studying online. We have students from the UK, United Kingdom in London. We have students like our dear Jillian. She's in the UK, the United Kingdom. She used to be our church member in Zambia, but now she lives in the United Kingdom. We have students in Zambia who are very given to the work of God, and they are studying online. We have students here in America, in New York, committed to the work of God and committed to the vision of the house. Then we have quite a number of students there in Zambia, and they are all hungry for God. The way we do it is, you know, you just go to Facebook, and when you go to Facebook, you to my page, you can come like to come to my page, you come to Lawrence Mwamba, or, you know, you come to Lawrence Mwamba. When you come to my page, then you look for Word of Life Bible College. It's a page that is on Facebook where you can log in. Not really log in, but you can leave me a message and say, "Oh, Bishop Mwamba, I would like to study in your school." Correspondence College, by the way. We are giving a diploma in the Bible, and it's a one-year course. And it's got this one-year course. Like I said, we have the Bible. It's going to be taught throughout the year. You have to have 32 credit hours to graduate at the end of the year. In December, the graduation will be on the 18th of December this year. And so we have three semesters. This semester began on the 11th. It's going to end somewhere in March. And then we go for a break. Then we come back for the second semester, which is going to be on until I think in August, thereabouts. Ends in March, then we have in March, April, May, June, July, we have a break, then we come back, I think, early August, and then we end on 18th December, we graduate. Our students who are here in America, they shall graduate at the Embassy Suites Hotel here in Dallas, Texas, and it's going to be a great ceremony. They're going to have a full regalia. They'll have the cap and gown to graduate. And then we have the professors who are here in America who officiate. I'm the president of the school. And so I'll be, presiding over the graduation here in the United States of America. Then in Zambia, we have Pastor Dr. Kausu, who is in charge right now in Zambia, and is going to organize for the graduation of the students there in Zambia. We're planning to be at the Pomozi Hotel, Lusaka Hotel, or an institution that will be made available for us there in Zambia. So it's a time of blessing. Once you log in and you show your intent that you want to become a student at the Word of Life Bible College, then we will send you data of the things you need to do to provide us. Usually it's just your email, date of birth, give us your educational level, give us a short testimony of how you were born again, and then once we get to this basic data, we'll enroll you. Then we have a stream. I have a thread, like on Facebook, I have a private thread where I teach, and you can log in and get the teaching. But most of the time, I will also give teachings like on Talk Show. Even here in Blog Talk Radio, students can log in and get my teaching. But for today, we are moving on as we look into aspects of faith in us breaking the spirit of poverty. See, the spirit of poverty is a big problem in the world today. Poverty will hinder you from doing many things in life. Poverty means having no means to support yourself. In actual fact, when you read the book of Deuteronomy, where there is the spirit of poverty, poverty is not a blessing. Poverty is a curse. And we see it from the word of God that God promised that those who follow him and do his will, he'll break the spirit of poverty away from them. We see that in the book of Deuteronomy, God speaks so very plainly, and he tells the people, especially the children of Israel, that if they did these things, they are going to spend their days in prosperity and abundance. It's very, very, very clear, even to Joshua himself. When Joshua was taking leadership from Moses, God told him that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may to do all that is written therein, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. That was what was told Joshua. There we see that in Joshua number 1 and verse 2. Look, we hear what the word of God says. Here is God speaking to Joshua. Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 1. Here he says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses." Verse number 4. "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto these people shalt thou divide the land which I swear them, unto their fathers to give them." See what he says. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand, nor to the left." This is giving him commandments, not to the left. "That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." See that? If we want to prosper whithersoever we goest, wherever we go, the book of the law shall be with us. We need to obey the book of the law. Now, what's the book of the law? The book of the law is simply the Bible, the word of God, the holy canon. And what he says there in verse number 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written then therein." Then he says, "Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." See that? So prosperity comes from obeying or following the book of the law. Whenever we keep our precepts and we follow the book of the law, the commandments of God, we are asking for blessings to come upon our lives. Now, for the church, we as a church, the book of the law are the things which have been mandated for us to follow. It's very clear there in Malachi, and the last, Malachi chapter, I think it's chapter 3, verse 10. Malachi is just before the book of Matthew. It's the last book of the Old Testament. I'd like us to turn to the book of Malachi and see from there. the promise of God of what will happen to us when we put His work as number one. See, many times we experience lack, and we experience a lack, as it was, and we find deficiencies in what we do because we don't follow the book of the law. We don't obey the commandments of God. Now, in the book of Malachi, there we see there in Malachi 3:10, hear the word of the Lord. Malachi 3:10. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. See that? And prove me herewith, if, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Do we want to see blessings where there will be no room enough to receive? Here is the key. This is what we need to do. We need to bring our tithes to the house of God. Now, here in America, we just had a big lottery, you know, the Powerball, they call it. And it gained such momentum, it was worth $1.9 billion. Can you imagine, you haven't worked for it, as it were. You just put some numbers and your numbers win, and you get $1.9 billion. That's what happened to three winners. They're going to share that money. That's a big amount of money. That's a lot of money. But you know, in God, God will bless us with abundance as long as we obey the book of the law. That's where it boils down to. When we obey the book of the law, God is indebted to us to bless us and to make sure that we walk in prosperity. I want to challenge you today in the name of the Lord that no matter what you are going through right now, things can change. You know, there is in the spirit realms demonic forces that try to stop us every which way we try to go. Devils are not happy when you prosper. Devils are not happy when you have a nice home, a comfortable house, nice seats, and a car. Because the devil knows, number one, you're going to go to church. You'll be on time at church. Number two, he knows you're going to evangelize. Number three, he knows you're going to visit friends. You're going to spend great time, you know, with family, and maybe have a Bible study in your house. So the devil is going to fight to try and make sure that you don't have those benefits. But listen to me. When God promises you blessings, nobody can take away from it. Nobody can take away the blessings that God had promised you. Nobody, no devil, no demon from the pit of hell can ever take the prosperity that God gives you. You know, here in America, I've had like three cars so far. We just bought another brand new car recently, you know. But I've had three cars. The first car, I had a Mazda. Brand new, I bought it brand new. I was in the living room, and there was an advertisement on television, and I said to myself, you know, I don't want to go to these used car dealers, and, you know, of course, I saw some of my co-workers, you know, my workmates having problems with cars, you see, breaking down, and you ask him, no, I bought it from this second car lot. I'm not saying all the second car lots are bad, you know, because car lots actually are good also, because they have the certified, like CarMax, they've got certified cars. You drive the car, it's certified. The other car I bought from VW, it was a second-hand car, one owner. It was a good car, you know. But the first car I bought was totally brand new. I bought it from Dodge, Mazda, here in Dallas. And I went there, I saw this advert on TV. They were saying, you know, punch in your number. You know, I punched in my number, they entered Social Security. I entered my Social Security. Then they ran my credit. And after they ran my credit, I received a call the next day. They said I was approved of the car. I said, whoa. This lady told me, you are approved of a brand new car. I went to the Lord the next day, and I got there. And it's true, this lady met me and took me to the Lord, and there was a brand new car. I mean, I was amazed. I mean, when I was in seminary in Massachusetts, I bought a student from it's a student to student. I bought a car from a fellow student who was graduating. because he was a master of divinity degree program. He was in, and I was also going into the master of divinity degree program. He was leaving, and he was selling a Mazda, I think. Yeah, I think he was selling a Mazda. I think it was a Honda Accord, if I remember well, for $100. I paid him $100, and I got the car. But the car, you know, I couldn't move with it much because it had a little hole in the gas tank which needed to be patched. And being a student, you know, there were other students with cars and all that stuff. But anyway, that passed. So anyway, after I graduated, I came to Dallas, and that's when I saw that advert on television. And I picked up my phone, and I called her, like I told you. I put the data they wanted. And the system, the next day, he told me I was qualified and I was approved for a brand new car. I should go to the dealership to sign papers. That was a shock. So I went down there. You know, I never owned a brand new car before. That was the first one. And I went there, and the lady took me to the car. Then the Spirit of the Lord told me, he said, son, when you walk in my precepts, I'll never let you down. I drove that car, was so happy, you know, and, you know, agilent, and they put the ball on the car. It's nice when you drive a brand new car. You know, everything smells new. You don't have any dirt, there's no squeaking sounds and stuff like that. But the point I'm trying to make is that God blessed me with the car. But then, you know, like I said one time, somebody hit me on the side and had a dent, so I took it for repair. But then a co-worker of mine said, no, Larry, you don't need the... You take it, you know, they will charge you so much money. I got, my brother-in-law is going to fix your car. Story short, my insurance was, because that car was being serviced and things like that. But anyway, this guy, instead of fixing my car, he stole my car. He stole it from me. You know, we went to court. I took him to court to try and get my car back, and he refused. It was not him. It was not his name on the documents. It was a long process, but I ended up losing that car. Man, I was so heartbroken. And I realized how the devil will attack you to get things away from you. And I looked at it, you know, I said, you know, God is going to bless me with another car. But, you know, it looked like I'm going to get another car the next day. But it took a long time. You know, I rode the buses, I rode the train. I was living in Garland and working here in Dallas, downtown Dallas area. And I would ride the train, the bus, the train, the bus. Sometimes I had to leave very early in the morning to ride that bus and that train to get to work. But in all of it, you know, I never gave up. I kept on thanking the Lord and praising Him. And God opened doors. I bought another car, a Mazda. A Chrysler 300. It was a big car. It has leather seats, with automatic. It was a used car, but it was good. When you put the gear in reverse, the mirror started to adjust so you can see the back and all that. That the sunroof, it was the heated seats, you know. It had all the gadgetry you can think of. It had a CD player. It had a radio. So I was affixed and I was okay with it. Then came this thing, the car started locking up, you know, locking when turning. One time my wife was driving and it just locked. Oh, I was so upset. After I'd spent, I spent $700 to fix the brakes in the front of it. But to cut the long story short, I still had a battle here and there, but I kept on believing God and thanking Him. Where we had that car sold out and then bought a new car, another car. I bought it for Taurus. This one was also almost brand new. It was owned by a rental company. So you can imagine, usually rental cars are well looked after. So we got that car. It was superb, kicking in gear. But then some crazy woman drunk came and bashed us back down. But anyway, the story is, anytime when we lost it, we kept on praying and believing God. And now here we are. We bought another brand new vehicle. What I'm saying is, blessings, when the Lord has given you, they will come, but the devil will try and take them away from you. The key to stay sustained is to put your foot down and say, devil, you're not going to take these things that I have from me. I remember my wife kept on confessing about the sticker she wanted. She wanted a Toyota Sienna, Toyota. She said it all the time. And guess what? Until we had to buy it. When things are not working for you, keep saying the things that you want to come to pass in your life. I remember the testimony of Creflo Dollar. He said the way we rose up in ministry, we started speaking things into existence. You see, they have a picture of a home. We continue believing for that home. They continue saying it. Until eventually they had that. They had that home. He said when he wanted an aeroplane, he just put the picture of the aeroplane. They began saying it until it came to pass. It's the same like with me, with Bible school, the Bible school we are running now. I kept saying it. People thought I was nuts. I told them, I said, look, we're going to start a Bible school. I thought I was nuts. And I kept on working on it. Now we have a Bible school here in America. We had a Bible school in Africa, and that Bible school was a school where students came, and the facilities were there. I built a building, which had a classroom, my office, and office for the dean of students and the faculty. It had the dormitory for the students. I bought the things they needed for the school. But you know what? When I came here in America, it had been battle because God, when he brings you to a new place, he wants you to get your foundations done. He wants you to be settled. He wants you to learn of the land. So even when there was a delay here in America, I knew God was still working with us. I kept on confessing, we're going to have a Bible school. Now we have a Bible school. It's running. The students are studying every day online, 25 students. You see that? And guess what? We're going to have a physical building here in Dallas with the students seated in the class and learning. It will happen. The next thing is the church. We started the church at a hotel. We are paying $200 with the family. I had only my family there. We tried for 3 months. We couldn't do it because the expense was just $200 every service. And that was only my wife and the kids. And I said, Lord, we've been advertising. We've got to get the people. But, you know, God told me it's not time yet for you to step out and get a church running. But now God is telling us it's time to look for a venue because people are going to come. In Zambia, the big church had over 500 members. Here in Dallas, I helped a pastor that had gone back to Zambia. I helped Pastor Sulungwe to pastor his church here for 1 year with his wife. My wife and I, we pastored that church together with Ms. Lungwe for 1 year. We were meeting at the Baptist church here in Dallas where they gave them room to meet. And we met there for 1 year. The next year, God opened doors for me. I started working with Pastor John. He's from the Cameroons. And he allowed me to preach some services. So we started going to his church. And then God worked by his grace. I'd been a little bit with his team, with Pastor Joseph at his church, also here in Dallas. But God kept on telling me, no, start your own church. You see, when you are called as an apostle, that burden will be in you, you see. I went and we went to Pastor Ricky Rice Church in South Dallas. He's got a big, huge church. That man is a man of faith. He believes God amazingly. And we were there with my wife, going to Pastor Ricky Rush's church for over 1 year. Man, I was so blessed. My wife kept on saying, no, you are a man of God. Why are you coming to the another church like this? Start your own church. But it was not yet time. God told me it was not yet time. I started going there. I was learning still. Even though I've been to Bible school, I've been to seminary. I said, no, God is planning something. We started a Bible study in our home and then in the elder's house. And then eventually, you know, I kept on saying in the meetings, I said, I'm gonna be on radio. I'm going to be on radio. And they thought I was being on radio, it won't happen. Until the beloved one here introduced me to the radio, and I'm on radio. I'm not only on radio here on Block Talk Radio, I'm also on talk show radio with the college community call. I'm on talkshoe.com, community call radio. There, participants, even like students, can call in and they can come and get me there and we share in the Word of God. What am I saying, beloved ones? What I'm saying is God will never let you down. Whatsoever you desire from him, he will give it to you. I'm here as proof that God works. He has given us a Bible school. He has given us a church. We have had cars which have been broken down and people stealing from us, but God still gives back to us. And this time I said, no, Lord, nobody is going to steal from us now. You're going to seal the property we have under your hand, and no devil is going to get near it. We have students praying. We pray ourselves every day. We ask God's grace to abound. So God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not be part out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou might make thy way prosperous, and that thou might have good success. So prosperity is coming your way. The devil does. No matter what people say, what matters is what comes out of your mouth. Do you know that God spoke things into existence? He said, let there be. Like I was teaching the Bible school students today. I said, when you read Genesis 1, verse 1, everything was complete. God said, let us make clean. He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That was complete, right? But verse 2 said, the earth was without form and void. Something happened there. Theologians call it the gap theory. Something happened, a disaster happened, there was a judgment because the devil wanted to take the throne of God. He was cast out of heaven. Michael and his angels banished him, and there was a catastrophic cosmic eruption, and this whole earth was flooded. It was like what God started was damaged. But you know what? God is patient. He just spoke. He stood there on in Genesis 1, verse 3, says, let there be light. And guess what happened? The light came. There be this. Whatever God called, it came into existence. And you know, we are made in the image of God. Whatever you call will come into existence. And the devil will not or never take it away from you. So have faith in God. Believe that your life is changing. Stand your ground when the devil tries to put things in your path and tries to block your way for success. Tell the devil, get out of my way, for I'm a child of God. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. Whatsoever I put my hands to do will be blessed. We need to talk like that. You need to say, I'm above only and not beneath. God has made a way for me where there is no way. You need to talk like that. You need to say, oh, have abundance of prosperity coming my way. Blessed am I in the city. Blessed am I in the country. That means it doesn't matter where I live, I'm still blessed. But it's good to live in the city because you have a lot of amenities near you. Say, I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. Everything I put my hands to do will prosper. That should be the language that comes out of your mouth. Don't curse yourself. Don't say, oh, everything I do breaks down. Whatever I touch is destroyed. You are just cursing yourself. Learn how to bless yourself by saying the right things about yourself. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm above only and not beneath. Poverty is not my friend. Begin rebuking poverty. Tell poverty to get away from you. And guess what? It will. These powers of lack and poverty, they are spirits behind them. And when you speak, those spirits hear and leave you alone. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, so whoever is listening to me under my voice, I command that they walk in prosperity and abundance. I join hands with them, as you said in the book of Matthew 18, verse 18 and 19, that whatsoever the two of you shall agree upon as touching, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. You said, Lord, that whatsoever we bind on earth shall be, Lord, you said, whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We bind every spirit of poverty over anybody listening to me. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the devil and command him to leave you alone. Be blessed. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba signing off on this podcast and telling you we're going to be with you again tomorrow. God bless you and bye-bye.